friends, welcome to episode 2 of the Crypto Arcade. You are joined today by Eldar and Dan. We're gonna talk about some really cool stuff today. In particular, I think we have like 6 projects to get through. At the end, we're gonna give you guys the AMA schedule, and yeah, we're just gonna talk about the cool stuff that's been happening this week. Dan, what's going on with you, my friend?
Just pumped for another episode of Crypto Arcade. You know, episode number 2 coming up here.
Yeah, man. The first episode went really well. We got Polygon support. We got support across the industry, across like the Web3 industry with some influencers and stuff like that. But I think what is most fun. So, like, I am excited to be back in the podcasting chair, and I know you've had your whole history with podcasting. Like, I saw some of your podcasts on YouTube and stuff like that. But I think podcasting is one of those super fun, rare things that, you know, like, for example, like, I've been doing podcasting, mainly video games for, I don't know, maybe like 5 years off and on. I've been in a few, started on a few. I just recently guested on one like last Wednesday talking about NFTs and stuff like that. So, like, I think podcasting is a lot of fun.
It's just like the most easy, in my opinion, not to like put down podcasters or anything like that, but it just seems to be like here's the better way to put it, the quickest way to just start into content creation outside of just tweeting or, you know, just making social media posts.
Sure.
You know, video production takes a while to get really, really good at, and definitely a lot more practice, a little bit higher of a learning curve there. And then, you know, art, some people just can't draw. I can't draw. I can't paint, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, podcasting though, maybe you're just an entertainer. Maybe you're just really good at talking. So, you know, definitely that's what I really like about, you know, creating this type of form of content.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I think as co-hosts, we report news in a pretty concise way. And I think that, what we offer to Web3 is valuable in that sense. So I'm excited to keep doing it, man. Like, I think Chad said he wanted us to do this until, what did he say? Until we died?
Until we died and we're dead and buried, said, man. And we might still even be doing it in the afterlife. So,
man, I know we can't tease anything, but, for those of you that have listened to this on Spotify, you may have noticed that the feed itself doesn't say Crypto Arcade. And, that's mainly because we have, you know, other shows planned under the actual feed of Polygon Studios, the podcast, as it were. And Crypto Arcade is just one of those. And the cool part, Dan, I'm sure you'll agree, is that when we create this sort of like Rooster Teethian type of environment, we'll have guests that not only come on our shows, but like interact with other shows. So like, you could end up on another show we do, right? And you're like, you're the Crypto Arcade guy, but you're on this other show. And that's cool for people that have been listening for a while, and vice versa. Like, I just think that potential for our platform is really cool.
Cross collaborations where it's at. So, you know, having guests appear, yeah, man, is always fun. You know, being known as the Crypto Arcade guys, that's awesome.
It is awesome, man. I'm glad we're here. Right. So the first thing I want to talk about is the video roundup that Chad did. We both saw it. So what did you think of that? How unbelievably professional was that?
Like, impressed, like, just beyond impressed by how he literally looked like an IGN sort of video, or just so, like, something like, when you walk into GameStop and you see the coming attractions or like the coming games, like on that big TV there, that's what it kind of felt like. That's what he kind of sounded like too. Like, coming up next on Polygon. I mean, yeah,
I was just like really blown away.
Yeah, no,
I was blown away with how comfortable he was on video. But yeah, for those of you who are wondering what we're talking about, I think it's on every Wednesday or Thursday. We'll have to kind of clarify when the day is.
It may vary.
It may vary. Yeah. Chad will basically jump on and give a 3 to 4 minute, that could also vary, update on kind of what we talk about on the podcast, and do a sort of, you know, just like a catch all of content on video, of everything that, you know, Polygon Studios has been up to in the Web3 verse. And he just does such a good job that, you know, for anybody listening that's kind of curious, like, oh, do you want this podcast condensed into a 3 to 4 minute format? Well, you know, check out, you know, the videos that we put out on Twitter every Wednesday or Thursday, because it's in there. And it's just pretty cool, man. Let's go ahead and jump into the projects of the week. We have about six to get through. The first one being Mana Games. I know you've been working with them pretty closely. I've been seeing you talk with them, you know, internally. What's the scoop with Mana Games?
So Mana Games, let me ask you one thing. Do you play video games mostly competitively, or do you play them mostly, casually these days?
You know, when I was younger, it was very competitive with Street Fighter and like StarCraft and stuff like that. But, in my old age, in my late 20s, early 30s, I mainly play single player games.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of went through that same phase too. But Mana Games is essentially trying to come up with a way to reward, through play to earn mechanics, players that are both casual and also competitive. Okay. Where on this platform you can basically play a wide variety of games. Like if you like going around in a game that's kind of like PUBG and shooting and coming out on top and, you know, winning the battle royales, then yeah, you can earn through those types of games. But also if you just want to chill and play some single player games and just take it easy, then you can also get rewarded through, you know, those games as well. It's not just one for one or, you know, anything like that. So Mana Games, they're looking to also implement a token swap system right on their platform. So say if you have some Axie Infinity coins, some AXS, and you want to exchange those, you want to swap it for some other token. Maybe you want to play Theden Arena or something like that. And you can do that like right in their platform, or you can swap their own native token for another gaming token. So it's basically going to be an all a complete gaming platform, decentralized gaming platform, where you can play all these different games. And they're also looking to try to get some AAA titles in there as well, apparently. And, you know, you can also have some DeFi tools at hand as well. So that's what Mana Games is working on. It was really interesting to see what they're coming up with. And I definitely like to see I really like the DeFi idea too. The token swaps is pretty cool.
I think so too. I saw that on their website, and I saw that, you know, they plan on implementing AAA games like Call of Duty and, like you mentioned, PUBG. So I wonder if then the business model gets a little closer to something like the Epic Game Store or like Steam or something like that, because I know that that is also something that blockchain gaming needs. It's like a centralized place for people to go and play these games, right? So that's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it's something that I was kind of envisioning when I was picturing the platform, how it could look. That's the kind of sense that I was getting from this as well, was basically a Epic Games sort of store or a Steam.
Very cool.
Like where you can just launch it. And maybe if they have compatibility for TVs in the future, that'd be kind of cool, like there, or console version.
Well, two things on that. Did you hear that there are smart TVs now that allow you to swap and buy and like sell, I don't know if you can sell them, NFTs on the TV?
No, I didn't. I don't know much about it.
That is very next level. And I was like, wait, what? Smart TVs? Because like traditional like smart TV tech has always been a step or two behind like game console tech and like PC tech and stuff like that. And so I'm like, dude, who are these people like behind this tech? It's kind of cool.
You can watch your Ethereum wallet's funds get drained right in front of your,
You can watch your Ethereum go from $4,000 to $2,000.
With half the gas fees.
While watching Succession.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Do you just like watch your money drain day in
just
and day
like
out?
Just like connect your wallet, your MetaMask wallet to your TV.
And you can just like watch someone hack it. It's dumb. Like,
yo, man, can you repay me for the snacks? You could just scan my wallet on the TV, the barcode just, right there.
We joke, but
it's going to happen. It's happening. It's going to happen.
It's literally happening right now. It's kind of crazy, but Mana Games is cool. Mana Games is cool for sure. For anybody that likes esports, definitely check them out. So we recently just kind of partnered with them, right? And they have some, I don't know what sort of things they're announcing in the future, but our big announcement of the week was that we were partnering with them basically.
Yep. No, they're kind of just getting the start, but
yeah. Okay.
Definitely has some exciting stuff to come with that.
Mana Games. Stay tuned to that. The next one I wanted to talk about, we recently, and by recently, I literally mean this morning, 4 hours ago, we had a awesome AMA with the team at Skeleton Hand, the company behind the upcoming blockchain game Incarnate. I don't know if you guys, you've probably seen us talking about them on our Twitter feeds a little bit here and there, but I really got a chance to explore Incarnate today, and I thought it was a really cool gaming project because it comes from a team of Web3 enthusiasts that also, I think, have a really good handle on what the Web3 audience wants, and what the Web2 audience needs for onboarding. So right now their game, in a little bit of a reverse way that, you know, you and I probably see a lot, the game is out now. There are people playing it. There are people streaming it. And it is a sort of, you know, you remember Final Fantasy Tactics?
Or like XCOM or something?
It plays like that, but on the blockchain. And right now, they're, I think they have just their straight up game. You can play it. You can QA. You can basically alpha test it. And they're going into beta launch. And they have their mint coming out in, I think, about 32 days. And in that mint, they're basically giving away characters in the mint that you could use in the game. So it's pretty straightforward. But the reason that I get so excited about it is, well, one, I like the team a lot at Incarnate. But they are putting out their closed beta in 30 – no, that's not true. They're putting out their closed beta after the mint launch. And all the characters you unlock in the NFT, along with the governance token that comes in the NFT drop in the mint itself on their website – you can straight up just use in the game. I don't know. Something about the gameplay just kind of spoke out to me, and it just kind of looked like something that I would genuinely play as someone that was a big fan of Final Fantasy Tactics, and kind of seeing that classic style of turn-based, you know, RPG combat, along with like the fact that I think the characters look cool in Incarnate, and the fact that it's really customizable and just kind of feels like, you know, this evolution of like games that you and I like, but with blockchain elements, is really interesting. And yeah, so I heavily recommend, you know, checking out Incarnate on Twitter and going on their website and just kind of waiting around and hanging out, wait for the mint. And yeah, I think it's minting for like 0.1 or 0.2 ETH. And yeah, it's a cool project. I'm really excited about it. You wanted to talk about another game. I forgot. Two really cool games back to back. Yeah, League of Kingdoms.
League of Kingdoms. And this is actually something that I was getting a little bit pumped up for too. I mean, I kind of like the whole genre of RTSs. And this one here actually implements an MMO aspect to League of, you know, inside of their game. So it's kind of a, you know, game like where you can build up your army, take over other kingdoms, establish yourself, and basically just roll over, you know, the land and your, you know, in your big castle in this, you know, and basically what you do in this game is you can own land and to establish your castle on. So there are land NFTs in the game, and you know, basically like you establish your castle there, you raid or attack other, you know, other kingdoms, and each time when you defeat one, then you claim the rewards to that. So there's other aspects to earning in this game, and besides those other aspects to you know, with those other aspects, you can actually adopt the dragon. You can actually have a dragon pet in the game, and the dragon can actually net you some of some tokens as a reward, and it opens up another way how to earn with you know, with League of Kingdoms. And you can also earn tokens through the game by, you know, just completing different objectives, winning battles, winning you know, winning wars right out there. And when you do, then, you know, you get tokens as a, you know, tokens as a, you know, part of your you know, your prize right there. So yeah, League of Kingdoms is also going to be mobile, and it's going to it's basically a mobile game, and I believe you can actually download it right now. So if you wanted to jump on that, you can. But yeah, they basically implemented I was just digging up some info here. So when you have a Drago, that's basically the type of dragon that you can own in League of Kingdoms, you can actually start earning the token DST, and their governance token that you get by beating other kingdoms in the game is called Loka, L-O-K-A. So you can earn Loka in the game, and you know, basically you can also rent out your kingdom to earn more Loka to other people. So yeah, it's awesome. It's really interesting. They've really brought the play to earn aspect here to mobile. And I wish I could stay at my computer sometimes to just play some of these really interesting games, but you know, I'm on the go more, and actually just seeing play to earn, more play to earn games come out on mobile is awesome. It's I definitely, you know, like seeing this, and the fact that they actually have, you know, like NFT rental opportunities here and land NFTs. And from what I heard, they are pretty affordable right now. So, you know, could be something to jump on. Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, something that, you know, I could, you know, maybe my wife's at the store and she's shopping, and I could, you know, just start raiding some kingdoms, or, you know, just like, yo, man, you want to build something on my land? You want to build something? So, you know, go ahead. You know, give me some Matic tokens for that. You know, I'm more on the go now. If it was me, a long time ago, I probably have time for Axie Infinity and all these other games and maybe making some bank with that. But no, I mean, I definitely like seeing League of Kingdoms and more. I definitely want to see more games like this come out to mobile eventually.
It's a genuinely cool looking game. I think their website is stunning, and I think the art they're using is just out of this world. And yeah, it's a really cool project to back. And I'm a little jealous that you get to interact with them. They're a really cool project. But yeah, so did you say that you could play the game now on iOS or not yet?
You can play it right now. Yeah, it's downloadable right now. If you look it up.
That's cool. That's really cool. Okay. Yeah, I have this entire folder on my phone now that's just like blockchain games, like Fetton Arena, like Skyweaver, and probably in a minute, League of Kingdoms, and then like Epico Regal. And I'm just like, okay, I'm starting to get it. It's pretty cool. But yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely a lot of cool stuff, coming out to mobile as well. And also, just to throw something out there, they also are going to be having a land sale is going to be minted on Polygon, I believe. And I think that's going to be coming up. Let me see if there was a date here. I think.
Oh, I saw their tweet about that. I don't know the date off the top of my head.
Yeah, if you follow their social medias, you could probably find out the date though. It's definitely
twitter.com/LeagueKingdoms. We're really proud of their partnership at Polygon Studios. We're really happy about hosting them. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, they're on Polygon. Speaking of kingdoms, I think you have another sort of related game or similar game here to talk about, because it it's something that you would maybe find in this sort of medieval sort of style world.
I think so. The name of the game here actually is gamification, and I think that when it comes to actual really cool art and getting together as a community, one AMA that we hosted on I think it was Wednesday, maybe Thursday, because we've had a lot of AMAs this week, has been the Castle Project. So there are gamification elements in this with this project, but it's primarily an NFT project where I really like this project. I think we talked about it once in episode that didn't actually end up coming out. So this is like, I guess, the first time I'm introducing you guys to it. But the Castle NFT project is a gigantic actual piece of art that is essentially, try to picture in your mind, a gigantic meter long collection of a hyper detailed castle. And it's a genuine, really amazing looking picture. And what the team at Castle did, this was drawn also by renowned Australian artist and penciler, Cepheus. And we had a really cool talk with him. And they took this genuine piece of art that he said he's going to resell one day. I don't know when he's going to do that. But if it's this piece of art that they've broken up into puzzle pieces. And in these puzzle pieces, the community in about 9 to 10 days can mint a piece of the puzzle and put it together and essentially come up with a NFT collection of this actual in-game piece of art. And you really have to see it to believe it, because I mean, it's kind of hard to explain what it is, but it's so intricate, this design, that you could zoom in. I think it's like 300 API, the file size or something like that. You could zoom in and see details that you couldn't see just from like looking at it on a table. It's so cool. And the community itself is like really hype about this. And there was a lot of I think because it's a genuine art project and the artistic integrity is there, there's a lot of excitement for this type of project. And I'm personally excited about it. The team is really, they're just really thoughtful people, and they're really nice, and they really support what this artist has done. And man, it was like talking to him on the AMA was really interesting, because he was going into like his creative process, and we asked him how long it took, and it took him two years to come up with this, to really get it all on paper. And I think if you see it, you can go on their website. I think it's castle.io. But and we post about Castle pretty often. But not only do they have a lot of partners in the Web3 community, from I think Gravity Finance to the Polygon Alliance, that some of their members have even found themselves. There's a lot of electricity that was pretty evident in the AMA, and a lot of It was cool. I really like this project. So castle.io, I believe is what it's called. And once you see it, the professionalism and how cool the branding is of this project, I think you'll be sold on it pretty immediately. They're mint. It's pretty low on the price too. I think it's like 0.01 ETH. So I think it's like 60, 70 bucks to mint. They're doing it on Polygon, so no gas fees. So it's kind of a steal. So pay attention to that. I'll probably talk about that at some point, you know, whenever they mint episode 3 or 4, just kind of a shout out. But yeah, Castle NFT, excellent project. But it's not a video game. And keeping in line with that, I think the thing that you want to talk about is also not a video game.
Yeah. So actually, this isn't so much game related, but something that's really going to be jumping, like kind of innovating the world of Web3. And it basically is something called Web3 Auth. And Web3 Auth is they're basically trying to bring in the world of OAuth, which is basically authentication mm-hmm. through other major platforms, into the world of Web3. And yeah, it's basically kind of like taking a little bit of Web2, implementing a little bit of Web2 here. But not everybody wants to go through a login process or creating accounts or anything here with some of these Web3 projects. And, you know, of course, there's wallet connection and everything like that. But maybe some people just would rather use a Gmail account or something else, a Discord possibly as well, or maybe even your Twitter account. So they're basically creating a tool set that will allow devs to implement OAuth with just a couple lines of code. You can implement that into your application, into your platform, and then you'll have, quick logins. People can just log in or create an account using their existing Google or Twitter or Discord accounts. So, it's something mm-hmm. else to also add here. And they're also going to be coming to Polygon. So Polygon developers, if you guys are interested in this, definitely check out Web3 Auth and, see about maybe adding it to your platform, to your project. It could be something cool to have.
Cool. Sounds like a good supplementary thing to add to any project, really.
Yeah. No, I know, OAuth, I know with Web2, it was something that was kind of big. And I mean, no matter how many times you want to, mention it, but Google's never really going to leave. And Facebook's never going to leave. So or Meta, if you want to call it Meta now. Having this login is really useful. And having this compatibility, having this feature is, pretty useful for some people if they would rather use that. So it could be something to, to put in so that your users have a diverse set of options at hand.
Cool.
Now, I know that the next thing that you wanted to talk about here, down the list here, it's not the character from Demon Slayer, right?
No, it's not. So the next project that I'm going to talk about is Rengoku. And even though the Demon Slayer movie, a movie that I've seen 10 times and that just became like an anime comfort movie that has quickly I think it's like the number one selling anime movie of all time. But we're not talking about that Rengoku. We're talking about Rengoku Legends. It's an NFT project that's coming to Polygon. Essentially, they are – well, first of all, I should – big disclaimer here. Rengoku is having their mint on Ethereum because we basically didn't get in touch with them in time to – for them to mint on Polygon. However, after that initial mint, they're taking their entire ecosystem and all of their all of their gamification, all of the actual game itself, the airdrops, everything that could be done on the blockchain, they're taking to Polygon. So I'm going to talk about them. Can't really mention the mint too much just because they, that's on Ethereum. The game itself and the concept art and the actual like NFTs, they look really cool. But the reason I'm plugging Rengoku is because of the samurai mythology behind the entire project. They've teamed up with a few Japanese mythology brands to basically form from what I could gather, a samurai-esque story, a feudal Japan-based samurai story, video game, that's going to use their 8,787 unique samurai NFTs. And they're bringing this ancient lore to the blockchain. And the reason that excites me is I love anything samurai. I am a big Kurosawa guy. 13 Assassins, Yojimbo, samurai animation, like Samurai Champloo and like Ninja Scroll. I'm a sucker for that stuff.
Champloo so much.
It's a fantastic fantastic anime, and one that I think about often but don't see a lot of people talking about. I think it's a hidden gem. And I just love the, you know, the samurai sort of mythos. And, you know, I, you know, full disclosure, like I talked to them yesterday, you know, so I'm still fairly new to the project. I just wanted to do my due diligence and tell you guys about the project. It's RengokuLegends.com. They have a pretty sizable, you know, community already. I think it's because their art and, you know, their project looks so good. Like, Dan, like, I'll send you the link to their Instagram, but immediately you'll be like, I want that. I know you will. But yeah, I just want to plug them really quick. I think they're doing something really cool. Anyway, it's time for the Hype Zone. Hype Zone. Hype for the Hype Zone. Savage is a photography platform that, you know, you, if you follow us on social media, you've probably seen. But just a really quick plug, Savage is the world's first carbon neutral marketplace for videos and photos in the metaverse. Because of that, I think they have the potential to have a pretty large market cap for metaverse, Web3 and beyond. They have a gigantic influencer network, really affordable minting, and they're ethical, responsible, and at Polygon, we love that sort of thing. And a plug by Gary V as well. So
plugged by Gary V. Yeah.
So yeah, twitter.com/thesavageapp. Photography on the blockchain. Pretty cool concept. And for those that were following Blau's Royal project that we talked about last week, and that Chad did a ever so lovely rap on air about, the actual launch of that project and the Nas drop has been moved to Thursday, January 20th. So by the time this episode is out, 2 days, 2.5 or whatever days after that, the drop is going to be ready. So you got to wait a little bit longer, but that's okay, because the excitement behind the Royal drop is super, super palpable. So we're excited for it. Anyway, getting properly into the Hype Zone. I saw you and Chad talking about this, but I haven't had a chance to interact with it. What is Atlantis World?
So Atlantis World is basically, you know, picture a metaverse, but it's completely underwater. And if you love Atlantis and, you know, the Atlantean mythology, then you're going to definitely dig this. But yeah, so Atlantis World, it's actually like a 2D, you know, pixel art metaverse. You know, it's a, you know, it's a you know, metaverse that basically is, you know, all Atlantean themed, and they just had their first alpha pass. They just had their alpha pass sale not that long ago, where people could actually get exclusive access to Atlantis World and basically become a founding member. So becoming a founding member would grant them exclusive access to you know, to some certain features. They also, I believe, have some role in governance in the platform as well. And then the other thing too that's really cool is that they actually have developed a learn to earn, or like basically a learn to earn model.
Okay,
and
learn to earn.
Yeah, like you've heard of play to earn. Well, this is now you're going to get educated and you're going to earn from it. So it's good.
Or else.
Pretty much, or else. Or else you fail. You get an F and you're exiled. But yeah, Atlantis World is trying this new model here, and it's basically to educate but also provide incentives for educating. So pretty much by following around these NPCs and learning on the go, you basically get you know, tokens for it. And you know, it's pretty you know, it's pretty cool because you probably get to learn more about Atlantean lore, and it could be something that, you know, maybe future platforms are going to adopt later on. So yeah, Atlantis World, you know, definitely check them out too. You can follow them on Twitter, and the Twitter handle is, while I type it in, it's at Atlantis0x. So you can follow them at Atlantis0x.
I just realized that the metaverse concept allows us to hang out in Atlantis.
Yeah. You can hang out.
How cool is that?
You can become a fish, you know, a fish guy.
Yeah, a merman.
I want a trident, though. I want to hold a trident.
I would be a whale.
You want, like, to be legit. Whale? You want to be a whale so you can ape into all that crypto?
I can ape into every NFT project that's ever existed. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know that we're at 30 minutes, but you know what? creative freedom here. We're going to go a little bit over because I definitely want to talk about, you know, why being blockchain agnostic is key for project success. I know that that's kind of a, you know, point that you really wanted to hit on this episode. So if you want to take it away and, you know, we can get cracking on that.
Yeah, I kind of just wanted to input this little part here. It kind of ties in a little bit for industry knowledge in a way. But pretty much with a lot of platforms that we see or games even just coming to Polygon these days, a lot of them are looking to become blockchain agnostic. And it's not a question of, you know, which blockchain is more is better in the sense, or which blockchain is more superior, because, you know, you do have your maxis everywhere. You got your Bitcoin maxis, you got your, you know, Ethereum maxis, you got Dogecoin maxis. I mean, you know, you have, you know, every single sort of blockchain or crypto, there's some sort of person that thinks it's superior. But in the end, platforms have to have some sort of diversification here, because there are people that spend more time on one certain chain than others. So, like, for example, you know, maybe one person spends more time on Polygon, maybe spends a little bit of time on Solana or something else, or Ethereum, and they, you know, want to have a platform where they can you know, be able to, you know, use their Matic tokens and, you know, not just, you know, limited to just one sort of blockchain. And especially if that blockchain is Ethereum, it can be kind of problematic, you know, because, you know, with the gas fee costs and everything, that is something that can really, you know, drain your wallet, so to speak. So, you know, having the capability to have more than one blockchain on your platform is something that's going to be really dire. And I mean, trust me too, you also open yourself up to a lot more opportunity. You open yourself up to appealing to other audiences. You open yourself up to getting more people on board. So, you know, a larger amount of games like My Crypto Heroes, I saw is blockchain agnostic. You know, they've seen success. League of Kingdom, you know, just implemented Polygon and they're on Ethereum, I believe. So, you know, blockchain agnostic. And, you know, just, you know, even more projects are coming on board and, you know, looking to implement Polygon. And, you know, it's not just that, you know, you know, like where I'm happy to see projects adopt Polygon, but also the fact that that more and more projects are looking to expand beyond just one blockchain. And, you know, maybe in the future they'll have minting options. Maybe there'll be, you know, that you can mint NFTs on multiple blockchains or on, you know, you can have your pick in a sense. So, you know, it's pretty awesome to see this. And, you know, it's something I think is, if you want to succeed, if you want your project to succeed in, you know, this space, then having that, you know, having multiple blockchains implemented on your platform is going to be dire.
For sure. For sure. And we literally work for Polygon. So this is pretty genuine advice. It's just sort of trends that I think Dan and I have seen. So, you know, something to keep very mindful of. I think it's genuinely good advice.
Yeah. Just like a little industry advice, I guess we could call that.
And we'll keep doing stuff like this, I think, you know, because you and I, we have our fingers on the pulse of, you know, a lot of different projects. So whenever we see sort of like industry trends, we'll make sure to call it out here on the podcast. Or, you know, we float around lots of different ideas at Polygon Studios. You know, obviously we are, like, I think the number one brand when it comes to blockchain gaming, you know, awareness, discussion, and just overall, like, being stands of the blockchain gaming universe and, like, obviously, you know, metaverse, Web3 and crypto stuff. But yeah, whenever we see trends, like, we'll share them out. And also, you know, I think we just have a lot of really cool stuff coming up with education and onboarding people to kind of just, like, know what we know. And we're going to keep sharing that information with you guys. But Dan, I really appreciate you going, you know, going hog wild on your explanation for why projects should be blockchain agnostic. And I completely agree.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's beneficial for a lot of people to have, you know, to have this, to have, I mean, a lot of projects, you know, that want to succeed in this space. I think having, you know, looking into multiple blockchains, you know, especially ones that with, like, you know, more users, or even ones that are, you know, solving problems like how Polygon is, you know, with, you know, with Ethereum, or even ones that are, you know, emerging and getting a lot more people on board. You have to know where the trends are going, essentially.
Yeah. Very well said. I completely agree. So due to time constraints, we were going to talk about the Troy Baker NFT announcement that happened literally this morning, but I don't know if we have enough time for that. All I can say maybe is quickly. This is like, huh?
Maybe a quick TLDR quick version.
Quick TLDR is that Troy Baker, one of the pillars of the Web2 gaming space, announced that he was working on a voice NFT project that allows you to basically, you know, incorporate the NFT tech world into, you know, voices and using those voices as NFTs, et cetera, et cetera. It's admittedly a little bit vague. He announced that today and he drew the ire of just about everybody in the gaming industry. But at the same time though, you know, depending on where you look on Twitter, you'll see a flood of support for it on Web3 Twitter. So, you know, it's always split down the middle.
I mean, hey, it sounds
innovative. That's the nature of things.
I actually had a question about this because I was just reading about it actually on Twitter before. But basically, like this technology, I think it's called like voiceless NFTs or something, right? That's the company making this.
Voice NFT, yeah. I was on their Twitter just recently. I don't remember the name of their studio.
I forget the name of it too. But yeah, is this basically like some sort of software where they like record their voice? So like if you wanted, say, Troy Baker to voice something in your video game, you can basically buy like an NFT of like his voice and like have like some sort of like text-to-speech sort of, you know, functionality with that. Is that how it works or is it not? Like, is it
just working? Yeah. Here's my best guess as to what this is. You know, whenever you use a Windows phone and Cortana pops up and she kind of directs you through the thing, or whenever people install like a voice in their car GPS, back when people used to do that. I think it's that. I think it's the licensing of voice technology, sort of like how Siri works. That's my guess. I don't think just anybody is going to be able to use the Troy Baker voice. I think because of the concept of it being an NFT, you know, studios would purchase that and then they could use the voice so that his voice can be in multiple places, but he doesn't have to record everything. So as a voice actor, I can totally see why he would support something like this.
I see. Yeah, no, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, what would be kind of cool is like maybe if they didn't have that functionality, like where or maybe if you needed something more custom, maybe it could be like you buy the NFT and you can like maybe write him or like, you know, like request something to him to like record. And then after he records it, like, you know, embeds it into the NFT. That would be kind of cool as like metadata or something like that. Yeah.
It's important technology because, you know, a person's unique voice, and you and I as podcasters know that, you know, the commodification of a voice is kind of a tricky subject for a lot of people, because if you could do everything using AI, then what good are we? Like if AI technology existed that could podcast about Polygon Studios topics, you and I become redundant. So you have to be a little bit careful with that. I think that's a little bit far off. But I think this sort of technology is just so new that it's exciting. Like, I don't really know what the project is. Like, you and I are just speculating on what it is. But it is this new tech, and we don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
And it could be really, really cool. But it just doesn't exist. It'd be like in the 1970s trying to talk about, I don't know, motion capture. We'll see. We'll see what it is. But all I just wanted to say was, you know, there was a lot of negative sentiment from the gaming community. But on the other side of the coin, there's a lot of positives. So just keep that in mind sometimes when you see a perspective or two.
And since you're probably listening to, if you are listening to this podcast and if you're seeing a lot of those negative remarks, just unfollow those people and follow us. Sure. We'll show you the right way.
Definitely. Always follow Polygon Studios. We are growing at a pretty fast clip. When I joined, we had like 11,000 followers. Now we're almost at 30. It's awesome. So yeah, that's it. That's the close of the episode. We went 10 minutes over. But you know what? 10 minutes more of content and talking about things that are important in Web3, that can't be a bad thing. I am going to close out my portion of the show. I'm going to fade back into the curtain. I just want to call out a few AMAs we have coming up. So today is the 14th. On the 18th, we have two AMAs back to back. We have the No Name DAO AMA at 10:15 Central Standard Time, and at 11:45 Central Standard Time, we have a very special Polygon Academy AMA, and we're definitely going to be talking about that on our socials, and that's going to be a whole lot of fun. And that happens on the 18th. That should be when this episode drops. So at so let's see here. We also have the Lap Lap AMA at let's see what time, 10 o'clock on the 20th. And then the, I think, Yeesports AMA on Friday, the 21st. So we have four AMAs coming up, maybe five. We'll see. But yeah, that's the content schedule. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it away and give it to Dan. Dan, okay. Close us out with the socials and do your thing.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely be sure to check out all those AMAs. They're going to be happening on Twitter Spaces. So if you want to check out those AMAs, then be sure to follow our Twitter account. And the Twitter handle for Polygon Studios is @_PolygonStudios. That's @_PolygonStudios. So be sure to check those out, and we'll see you next time on another edition of the Crypto Arcade Podcast.
See you guys.